Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a Mark Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Mark Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Nun Gimel. You will notice a Tanaic source. Let's correct ourselves. 7 lines from the top of Daf Nun Gimel. Tonu Rabbanon. Before we begin this Tanaic source, we have on the side a Nosei Mivneh heading. The double underline is featured, and we've written Sof Zmanei Achilo Shel Minim Shonim Legabi Shvias. As we discussed in our previous sugya, during the Shemitah year, so one is entitled to benefit to eat from the fruits that are growing on their own in one's fields and in the wilds. However, when that fruit's season comes to an end, and hence it's not available to the animals of the fields, to the chayas asodeh, so any of that particular variety that you have gathered in to store up in your house, it must be destroyed, which we call biur. Like biur chametz, there's biur shvias. So this source will feature the end times for different varieties of fruits. The end times, meaning that at this time you must destroy them, anything that you have stored up. The source, Tonu Rabbanon, Oichlim Ba'anovim, one can eat grapes, Ad Shichlu Dolios Shel Oichel. Oichel is the name of a place. Dolios are grape vines that are stretched over trellises. So one can eat grapes until the last grapes are growing in Oichel. Im yesh mucharos mehem, oichlin alehem. If there are later ones that are still growing, so that can serve as the basis for your continued eating of your grapes. Oichlin bezesim ad shiichle achron shebetkoa. Tkoa was a city known for its olive oil production. So you can eat your olives until the last olives are growing in Tekoa. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ad Shiichle Achron Shel Gush Cholov. And Rabbi Lezer says, until the end of the olives in that area, Gush Cholov. Kedei Shiehe Oni Yotze V'eino Motze. The end is determined by a poor man going out seeking olives and not finding them. Lo benoifoi velo bikoro rova. Not finding on the nof or the branches or by the trunk a rova. Rova is a measure. In other words, there's very little left. That indicates the end of the season. Ochlin begrogros. Grogros are dried figs. Ach yichlu page. Page is a word very similar to the English word fig. Page Beisini. Beisini is the name of a place. So Beisini serves as the standard for determining the end of the fig season. Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Lo Huzkuru, Page Beisini, Elo Le'inyan Meiser. Rebbe Yehuda says that Beisini is mentioned in the context of figs, in connection with figs, not as far as a Shemitah deadline, but rather as a type of fig that even though they remain small, they nevertheless are chayev, they're obligated to be tithed. As the source goes on to say, Page Beisini, the Ahini de Tuvino. Page are figs of Beisini, Ahini are the dates of Tuvino. Tuvino is the name of a place. Chayovin b'meiser, even though these fruits remain small, they don't really develop fully, but nevertheless they still are obligated to be tithe, the miser tithe. Now this is something we learned in our previous shiur, that tamorim can be eaten until the last tamorim are found in Tsoar, a name of a place that was known for its date development. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ochlin al shel bein hakifin, v'ein Ochlin al shel bein hashitzin. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says that if dates are found on the date leaves are like branches of the date tree, of the date palm, that is still a sufficient reason enough or justification for your continued eating them. However, if there are no dates left on the tree nor on its branches, but are left on the sheets in the thorny trunk part of the tree, if you have dates lodged in there, that is not reason for your continued eating of your stored dates, because being in the thorny section of the tree, animals don't really have access to that. And we said before that the standard for Shemitah is based on access that animals have, as we learned in our previous shiur. The Gemara asks, V'raminhi, we raise what appears to be a contradiction. Here we have the dates, maybe that's a pun that we should try to avoid over here, but we have times that represent the end of various fruits seasons, and it doesn't seem to correspond to that which we learned in the previous source. The Gemara asks, V'ramini, Oichlin ba'anovim ad ha-Pesach. One eats grapes till Pesach. B'zeisim ad ha-Atzeres. One can eat olives until the holiday of Shavuos, of the Shemitah year. B'grogros ad ha-Chanukah. Grogros are the dried figs until Hanukkah. And b'tmorim ad ha-Purim. And dates until Purim time. It's not anything we saw in the source before. So if you can see, we have a bracketed section. The brackets are there for skipping purposes initially, to make the reading easier. So after the brackets, you see answer one, Edi v'Edi, Chad Shiruhu, both. Tanaic sources are really referring to one in the same time. That if you take Anovim, for example, it said in the first source you can eat based on the Dolios Shel Oichel, that will take you till approximately Pesach. That'll be Pesach time. And in the first source, Zaysim, it said until Achron Shabbatakoa. Well, on a calendar, that comes out to around Shavuos time. Now, we skip the bracketed section. Let's read that now. After having read the four times in this last source, Yomar Rav Bevai comments, Rav Yochanan Tarti Basraiso Machlif. He switched around numbers 3 and 4. Tarti Basraiso in the last two examples. That means examples 3 and 4, so that Grogros would be until Purim and Tamorim would be until Hanukkah. So how, nevertheless, do we resolve the sources? So we saw answer number one, Edi v'Edi, both sources, Chad, Shi'uru, they're the same time. And the Iboy Seima, another approach, Ha, Kotoni, Behedya, it's said in the first source. Now you'll notice an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above. And it said, Im Yesh Mu'uchoros Mehen, if there are later than those, Ochlin Alehem. So that the times are not that fixed. In other words, there's a general guideline, but if you see that they are still available, so then you can. So that you in effect have two time periods, what might be viewed as the standard, and then what might be in fact a later time that the fruits are still developing, or they're still available. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, and before we learn the source, let's just glance at the side. Nosei mineit smochim shonim. We're going to feature different kinds of vegetation, she mizuhim, that are identified the darkom mezahim ezorim shonim. And through them, we will identify different types of geographic locations. And the Gemara is going to then, after the source, is then going to spell out the nafka mina, that what do I have to know this information for, that when you see this a certain kind of vegetation, so you know it's this type of geographic region. Of what value is that for me? And that value will be highlighted with diamonds under our Mivneh heading. You can see Nafka Mina Ladina Bezihui Mekom El Shonim, the practical halachic ramifications of being able to identify different geographic regions. So now let's see the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Simin Lahorim, the sign of a mountainous area, Milin. If you see Milin growing there, so Rashi points out, he says Afotzim, and then he uses a French word, Glish. Avoshari Lona Shebaharim Ein Yofin, Venafka Mina Delo Maisinon Bikurim Minaihu, Kidala Kamon. So we'll see more about this later, but to identify an area as being considered horim, mountainous, notice if there are milin growing there. Milin is a tree, a type of tree from which afotsim is a type of chemical, if you will, it's a natural chemical, but it's used for treating parchment before writing on it. So the next example is Simin Amokim, to identify an Amek. An Amek is a low-lying region. Dekolim, notice if there are palms growing there. If you see palms, you'll know that you have an Amek. Simin Linecholim, Nachal is possibly a valley. So Simin, that's Konim, if you see reeds growing there. The term Nahal can also refer to a river, but it's we'll see what I have to know this information for I've been able to identify something as a Nahal a little bit later. But in order to identify an area as a Nahal, you would have to have konim, reeds growing there. Simin l'shvela shikma, the Shvela region is characterized by a shikma tree growing there. V'afalpi she'ein raya l'davar, even though there's no outright proof to that, zecher l'davar, there is a hint to it. Shenemar, the posuk says, v'ayitein ha'melech ha'kesef Yerushalayim kavonim v'sa'arozim nosan kishikmim asher b'shvela l'roiv. So, without getting into the background to the posuk, but you see in this pasuk a reference to shikmim asher b'shvela. If you see the shikma tree, so you know that is called a shvela region. It's explained why this is only called a remez and not an outright proof, because it doesn't say here that if you don't see shikmim, if there's an absence of shikmim, so it's not a shvela. Simin lahorim, this is a quote of what we had just before, simin lahorim milin, simin la'amokim dekolim, nafkamina lebikurim. It's important for me to identify an area as being either horim or amokim to know whether or not I can bring the bikurim offering from a particular place. The source says, disnan, ein mevin bikurim ela mishivas aminim. The Bikurim offering, which is what we call the first fruits, those are the first fruits to blossom in one's field, and they are of the seven varieties that the land of Israel was blessed with: Chita, Saora, Te'eno, Gefen, Rimon, Zei Shemen, Udvash. Those seven varieties of fruits, including things like grapes and pomegranates, wheat, barley, those seven varieties are brought from the first ones that blossom in your fields. You bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, and they are presented to a Kohen. So Bikurim come from the seven minim, velo midekolim shebehorim, and even though you are going to bring dates, don't bring from the date palms that grow the horim, mountainous areas, velo miperos shebemokum, nor from fruits growing in the emek type area. So you can see what with our markings why we dot underlined horim and amokim here, and you align this with before, so if you put the information together, you'll know that you're not going to bring date bikurim from an area where you see milin growing. You're not going to bring fruit bikurim from an area that you see dekolim growing. The Gemara continues, simin lenachalim konim. In order to establish whether a place is a nachal, so notice if there are reeds growing there. Nafkamina, lenachal eson. The nachal eson was an area that the eglo arufa was processed. The eglo arufa was a calf that was brought by a city to whom a corpse that was murdered was found to be closest. That if there was a corpse found and a murdered individual, the city closest to it brings a calf and breaks its neck in a nachal. A nachal being a specific geographic type area. As far as the halacha is concerned, it would be a type of valley that was never tilled. It was never, no agriculture took place there, and in order to identify it as a nachal, you would have to see reeds growing there. Simin l'shvela shikma, in order to know whether you're dealing with a shvela region, so you'll notice shikma trees growing. Nafka mina l'mekach l'memka, the practical value in knowing that is for business purposes. In other words, if a person says, I am selling you Shvela land coming from a Shvela region, you had better notice Shikma trees growing there. Otherwise, the deal would be off. You put a down payment, or you made a kinyan to acquire Shvela type land, and you notice that you then come to the place and notice there's no Shikma trees. So then that we call a Mekachtos, a mistake. Hashto da'osis l'hochi, now that we've come to this pshat, this explanation of Mekach u'memkar, kulu nami l'mekach u'memkar, all of the above definitions of places or characterizations of places based on different plant life could have this type of legal bearing in terms of commercial land dealing. The Mishnah. Mokom shenoagu limkor behemo dako lenochrim mochrim. In places that it was customary to sell behemo dako, sheep and goat, to Gentiles, so you can sell to them. Mokom shenoagu shelo limkor ein mochrim. In places that they practiced restraint from selling them, sheep and goat, behemo dakos, to nochrim, so you are not to deviate from the custom and do not sell. Now, the reason for that is that people would have imposed upon themselves the restriction of selling behemadakas, because if they would allow themselves to do that, they might come and end up selling behemagasas to them, large animals, and that will be mentioned now in the Mishnah. Uvechol mokoyim ein mochrim lohem behemagasa agolim usyochim shleimim ushvurim. And in no place will we allow you to sell large animals like oxen. The reason for that is a Jewish-owned animal is obligated to we'll call rest on Shabbos. In other words, not be used in any malacha. If we were to sell large animals to goyim, people might come to loan the animals or rent them to goyim, to the Gentiles. And in that case, it's still a Jewish-owned animal, and the Gentile might end up using it on Shabbos. So there's an Iser Derabbanan across the boards not to sell to the Gentiles large animals. And included in that are also the young versions of those. An Egel is a calf. If we allow the sale of calves, you might end up selling the oxen. And Siochim are also the young version of a behemoth gasa, whether they're shleimen, whether they're healthy, complete, or shvurin, or broken. And these are all because of the gzera. The young we prohibit because you might come to sell the adult version. And if it's shavur, forbid that, because you might come to sell a healthy one. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shavura. Rabbi Yehuda does not make that gezera, and the svara for that is that people who bought a broken limbed animal, they will probably slaughter it immediately, and the Gentile will sell it, will slaughter it immediately, and Jews won't see that animal that was sold by the Jew in the Nochri's possession, and therefore they won't come to sell other animals. So according to Rebuta, you can sell a broken-limbed animal to the Gentile. Ben Becerra matir basus, and Ben Becerra allows selling horses to Gentiles, because a horse is not used for any malacha on Shabbos that would be osir min haTorah to begin with. As opposed to an ox, which is used for plowing, a horse is used for riding. And riding is something that might be osir, forbidden midrabbanan, but not midoraisa. So in the worst case, if the principle here is to ban the selling because I might come to loan a horse to a goy, well, even if I do, and he rides it on Shabbos, there is no Torah violation in that. Therefore, there's no rabbinic restriction in selling in the first place. Mokum Shinagu, and by the way, this whole first section of the Mishnah is not going to be dealt with by the Gemara here in Psachim, because it is dealt with extensively in Maseches Avodah Zorah. Mokum Shinagu Lechol Tzli Belele Psachim Ochlin, Mokum Shinagu Shlo Lechol Ein Ochlin, in places that it was customary to eat roasted meat on Seder night, Lele Psachim, the night of Pesach, so you can eat roasted meat, and in places that it was customary not to, so you should not eat it either. As far as what the reason for that is now what the Gemara will deal with. Omer Yehuda Marav, Osir lo l'odom shiyomar, it's forbidden for a person to say, Bosor ze lepesachu, this meat is for Pesach. Why? What's the problem in that phrase? Mipnei shenira kemakdish behemto, it looks like he is sanctifying it. And if that be the case, if it looks like he's sanctifying it, then goes ahead and eats it, the oichel kotshim b'chutz, and then he would be guilty of eating sanctified sacrificial meat outside the confines of where it's allowed to be eaten. In the case of Korban Pesach, it can be eaten in Jerusalem. But if you live outside Jerusalem and you say Pesach Boser Zele Pesach Hu, and you end up eating it, people will think that you're eating sacrificial meat beyond its precinct. Rashi adds that the prohibition extends, as the Gemara said itself, when it says Boser Zeh, it's referring to even after the meat has been slaughtered, not just a live animal. Regarding a live animal, if you say Boser Zeh LePesach, it would look like you're sanctifying the animal to be brought as a sacrifice. But even if you are saying this pronouncement on meat, on slaughtered meat, even that has a negative impact, because meat that's sanctified could conceivably In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, for example, if one sanctified meat, he would take that, sell it, and then use the money for buying sacrifices. So when it comes to meat, Bosor Zeh LePesach, do not say that. Omer of Papa, Dafka Bosor, Aval Chiti Lo. This restriction applies to meat, but not to wheat. If a person has grains, and he says Chitim Elu LePesach, all that means, as the Gemara goes on to say, "Deminta lepischa ko'amar." I'm guarding it. I'm saving it. Mintar literally is to guard something, to watch it. I'm watching it for the holiday of Pesach. The wheat that I just said chitin lepesach means for the holiday of Pesach. So that according to Rav Papa, the idea of let's say a mistake being made is applicable only to meat, but not to grains. Rashi adds, four lines from the bottom, Avol chiti lo domu midi lekotchim. Wheat does not remind or would not be confused with sanctified things. V'chikomar chitim elu lepesach. When a person expresses himself like that, this wheat is for Pesach. The minta lepesach komar. I want to watch it, keep it for Pesach. Atzniu the Pesach leochlam, to keep this wheat aside for the holiday of Pesach. Lo amrino on mechzi kemand omer lemochron v'liknos Pesach b'dmeim. It doesn't create the impression that he is setting aside the wheat and sanctifying it to use the cash value of that wheat for buying a korban Pesach. The Gemara asks, Ubosar lo, and with regard to meat, is one not allowed? Is one not allowed to say Bosar zeh lepesach meisvei? Now we raise an objection to Rav Pop, to the din of Rav Yudam Arav, from the following Tanaic source, and you'll notice we have a bow tie shape. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei. The topic heading that we're dealing with is Hanhogos Asuros Mishum Nira Ke'ichol Kotchim Mechutz, different types of behaviors or practices that would create the impression that you're eating sanctified items outside the Beis HaMikdosh or outside Yerushalayim. And the Mivneh, the bow tie, are Shnei Deos Mi Hevi Ha De Todos. We have a Tanaic source featuring Todos. It's the name of a person, Todos, the Roman Jew, Todos Ish Romi. So at this point in the Gemara, we're going to be reading the author of the source as Reb Yossi. On Amud Beis, it's going to be suggested by Rav Acha that the author is really Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara then will enter into a discussion of who would be the more appropriate author of this source. So the question right now, though, is there really a restriction with regard to the meat? So the Gemara asks, and of course, again, note by the way that this is a long question, and it will take you to the second line from the top of Omid Beis. Omar of Yossi, Todos Ish Romi, Hinig es Bnei Romi, Leechol Gedoyim Mekulosim Balele Psochim. Todos from Rome conducted the people of Rome. He was a communal leader. Rashi says Yisrael Choshev Shoy Baromi, an important Jew living in Rome, and he had his Roman cohorts, townspeople, do the following on Pesach. They would eat gedoyim. Gedi is a goat, which is, by the way, an animal that could serve as a korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash. But they ate goat meat, gedoyim mekulosim b'leilei Pesachim. This is a case where they roasted goats intact, without getting into the details. Mekulosim basically means goats that were skinned and roasted intact. Instead of being totally dismembered, they were rather roasted intact on Seder night. Sholchu lo, and the rabbis sent to Todos. Imoli Todos Atof, you were not Todos. Gozranu alecho nidui, we would have imposed an excommunication on you. Shato, and then we have a bracketed line which we're going to skip initially to the top of Omid Beis. We say Shato Koroiv Lahachil Es Yisrael Kochen Bachutz. You are almost your practice borders on having people eat kochim, or sanctified animals. In this case, it would be a korban pesach outside its appropriate area. Rome is obviously not Jerusalem. The bracketed section. Let's now go over at the bottom line. Shato. They were threatening him with excommunication, other than if not for the fact that he was a great man, he would have deserved nidui, to be excommunicated. Shato machil es Yisrael kochim bachutz, because you are feeding them korbonos outside their area. Kochim sankadaitoch, where was any sanctification? Nothing was sanctified here. So would you think really kochim elo emo? Because it's so similar to the way the real korban pesach was prepared, so it creates the impression that you're allowed to eat sacrifices outside their ordained precinct. Now, what was the problem with todos? Mekulos in. Only because they were prepared in the mekulos fashion, which means they were prepared intact, and not dismembered as you would roast ordinary meat, but they were roasted intact like the way one would do a real korban pesach. However, she'en mekulas lo, but roasted meat that's not mekulas, there would be no problem. So that would appear to be a kasha on Rav Yehuda Amar Rav that said that one should not say Boser Zeh LePesachu, because even with common meat, one could confuse that with a sacrifice. Here we see that's not the case with mere common meat that there's a problem. It's only because it was prepared in a complete whole fashion that there is a problem. The Gemara answers, Amri, this is an answer. Mekulas, when it comes to roasting the sheep or goat, complete, lo shno omar, lo shno lo omar. It doesn't matter. The problem exists whether he says boser zeh lepesach or he keeps quiet. She'eino mekulos. If you have meat that's been dismembered as into its normal meat sections, as butchers know how to do, if it's a dismembered meat, then piresh in lo piresh lo. Then the issue of the roasted meat becomes a problem only if he specifies. If he says boser zeh lepesach, then you have a problem. If you didn't say boser zeh lepesach, the fact that you are roasting meat per se is not something that we would say is usur. As far as the issue of minhag is concerned, the Mishnah mentioned that if the minhag is not to eat it, so even you shouldn't eat it. But as far as classifying something as prohibited, that far we wouldn't go unless you dedicate. You say boser zeh lepesach. But if you have dismembered meat and you remain quiet, so then there's no isser, there's no actual prohibition. Rav Acha masni lo loha masnisin berebi Shimon. Rav Acha teaches this source instead of Reb Yossi. He teaches it in the name of Rebbe Shimon. Now you'll notice on structurally we have a long question that, and we're calling it question number one. And then shortly thereafter, there's a question number two, and it's in a bracketed section. The reason for breaking up the Gemara like this is that with regard to question number one, we're not going to see an answer. It's going to be left as a question. With regard to question number two, a question is raised and an answer is given within the bracketed section. Okay, so we had the todos story, which is tied into creating an impression that something was sanctified. We have that taught either in the name of Rabbi Yossi or in the name of Rabbi Shimon. significance of that will be understood as we go on in the Gemara. Maskif law Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes objects. Bishlo lemanda toni law k'Rabbi Yosi. If you teach the source in the name of Rabbi Yosi, nicha, it's okay. Things work out. El lemanda masni k'Rabbi Shimon mi nicha. But if you teach it in the name of Rabbi Shimon, does it really work out? Now, the Gemara here is extremely terse. So we'll read the Gemara, and then we'll look at the Rashi to offer explanation. V'hotnan. If to assume that it's in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that doesn't work out. For we have, in the case of, we have a Tanaic source that features someone who said he's going to bring a meal offering. Hareolai mincha min asorim. Person who made a meal offering dedication, but to bring it from barley. Now, if a person says that, barley was never used as a voluntary meal offering. It was brought as a korban oimer and a korban soita, but a voluntary meal offering was brought exclusively from wheat. If a person said, Hare olai mincha min hasorim, what halachic outcome or ramifications does that have? So according to Rabbi Shimon poter, he is not obligated, he hasn't obligated himself to anything, shelo hisnadev kederach hamisnadvim, because he didn't make a dedication in the normal way dedications are made. Let us take a look at the Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines. Rabbi Shimon poter baomer hareolai mincha min asorim. Someone who says that the snabe menachas mevi min achitim. The Kevon Dioma Hareolai Mincha, the Chachomim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon say that if a person says Hareolai Mincha Minasorim, he is obligated to bring a wheat meal offering. The Kevon Dioma Hareolai Mincha, once a person says those first words, Tfos Loshem Rishon Umincha Einabo Minasorim, we grab upon his first expression, Hareolai Mincha. That in itself would mean it's upon me to bring a meal offering, and it's known that meal offerings do not come from barley. So he's locked in by the Loshon Rishon. So Umincha Eino Bo Min Asorim Nedava doesn't come as a voluntary offering. Hilkoch Yavi Min Achitim. Therefore, he has obligated himself to bring a meal offering, but from wheat. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon, though, exempts him. The Omar Af Bigmar Dvorov Odom Nitvas Vinidbak, that a person's statement and what its effect is based also on the end of what he says. In other words, we don't jump upon just the opening statement, but we look at the entire statement. V'daito l'choma shemotzi b'fiv, and there his intent is for whatever he utters. Ulamincha sorim niskaven, and his intention was to bring a barley offering. This savor, he thought mistakenly shadam yochel isnadei v'lohavi ikein, that a person could bring a voluntary barley offering, which is wrong. Ulafikoch ein bedvarav klum, and because he said something, he intended something that is absolutely wrong, his words are meaningless. And now the tie-in to our Gemara, v'hai machil gdima kulus nami, the todos practice of feeding them roasted goats in that are intact. Nami my korov lekotchim b'chutziko. How does that resemble kotchim b'chutz? Halo mechayim lekor l'shem pesach. When it was alive, there was no dedication. All he was doing was serving complete roasted goats. There was no dedication when the animal was alive, saying that it's lepesach. V'afilo yekori l'shem b'shasliot. Even if, as he's roasting it, he says this is lepesach. Shalom kederach hamakdishim, who he made a dedication in the unusual way. The usual way is when the animal is alive, you make a dedication. V'ein Hashem chalolov. So as far as Rabbi Shimon's approach to dedications, to sanctifications, todos represented no threat, no problem from the outset. However, Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't learn like that, who isn't bound to, let's say, this concept of shelo isnadev kederach hamisnadvim, there is a problem. We continue in the Gemara. Notice we finished question number one. simply saying that Rav Acha, who taught it in the name of Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't seem to be, because the Toto story, we saw that aroused the objection of the rabbis. But according to Rabbi Shimon, there would be no objection. We continue in the brackets. Omar le Ravino le Ravashi. Uman de Masni law ki Rabbi Yossi. What Ravina is doing, he is asking on Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says that if you teach it in the name of Rabbi Yossi, things are good. So Ravina asks, he poses a question to Rav Ashi on that which Rav Sheshes said. Uman de masni lok Rabbi Yossi mi micha. And if you teach it in the name of Rabbi Yossi, is it smooth? V'homar rovo, Rabbi Shimon b'shitas Rabbi Yossi omra. Rabbi Shimon that exempts the person who says Hare Olai Mincha Min Asorim, Rabbi Shimon's exemption is based on the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Omar, Rabbi Yossi is known to say Af Bigmar Dvorov Odom Nitpas. Rabbi Yossi is known to say that when a person vows something, we look at the entire statement, including the end. So if he said at the end of his statement something that's unreasonable, like a meal offering Min Hasorim, that invalidates his dedication, making thereby exempting the individual from bringing anything. So we see that Rabbi Shimon is based on Rabbi Yossi, who says Af Bigmar Dvarav Adam Nitpas. So my love, should we not conclude me to Rabbi Shimon Sovar Lok Rabbi Yossi, just like Rabbi Shimon accepts Rabbi Yossi Nami Sovar Lok Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Yossi would adopt that which Rabbi Shimon says, namely that a person is exempt when he's shelo hisnadev kederech hamisnadvin, when someone vows something in an unusual way, he is not bound. And therefore, what was happening by Todos was lo hisnadev kederech hamisnadvin. In fact, there was no nedava whatsoever over there. And even if there was, as we said before, people don't do it when it's being roasted. So, therefore, to establish the source of Todos like Rabbi Yossi also is unreasonable. The Gemara says, Loi, the assumption just made in this question is not so. Rabbi Shimon Sovalok Rabbi Yossi, that is true that Rabbi Shimon says, Af Bigmar Dvor Vodim Nitmas, like Rabbi Yossi says, and thereby, in the case of Hare Olai Mincha Min Esorim, he would be exempt. However, v'lo Rabbi Yossi, sovalok Rabbi Shimon. However, Rabbi Yossi doesn't accept Rabbi Shimon's comment of exemption based on shelo isnadev kederech hamisnadvin, but rather, even if a person made a nedava in an unusual way, he nevertheless will be bound. If we glance down in the Rashi, in the lower part of the narrow lines, we have a double underlining in the Rashi. And in the second of those double underlines preceding that, you see Avol, Rabbi Yossi lo sovar k'Rabbi Shimon b'misnadev shelo k'derech hamisnadvin. The lo amar klum, according to Rabbi Shimon, if a person makes a dedication in an unusual way, so he has said nothing. But Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree with that. If a person made a dedication in an unusual way, he will be bound. But not because we look at the opening statement, because that's not what Rabbi Yossi holds. But rather, because a person doesn't say something for nothing, and if a person starts off, if he makes a dedication, Hare Olai Mincha Min Asorim, he didn't say that for nothing. He intended to obligate himself in something. V'gabi Gedima Kulas Nami Afogav D'Shelo Kederach HaMagdishim, even though it's not the normal way, Havilei Korov La'achil Kotshim B'chutz, it's close to a Kotshim problem outside of its precinct. D'Havi Omar Olei, had they said Harezeh LePesach, Amri, I would conclude l'dmei Pesach Koma, that their intention was to sanctify the meat for its value, to use the money to buy a korban Pesach. Hence, they were close to eating kotshim b'chutz. The Gemara continues, Ibaya Laho, Todos Ish Romi. The in this story with Todos, we saw that the Rabbonah did not put him into excommunication. Now, why not? Gavra Rabba Havi? Is it because he was a very pious, a great man, and because of, out of honor to him, they didn't make that move? Oh, Baal Egroifim Havi. Or was he a person that cast fear on them? He was a threatening type individual. So the Gemara answers, Toshma, we're going to bring a Tanaic source from which we will see that he really was a pious individual, and we'll see that from the following drosha, the following Torah explanation that Todos himself gives, indicating that he's a man of Torah and piety. The story, we have a source here, Oid Zu Dorash Todos Ish Romi. Todos offered the following explanation of the behavior of Hanani Mishael Azariah. We're going to see about three tzaddikim that lived in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, that when Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to bow down to a particular statue, they refused and rather had themselves thrown into a furnace. So Todos, in learning that story, says, Ma ro'u Hananiah Mishael Azariah shemosu atzman al kedushas Hashem lekivshon ha'esh? What motivated them? What did they see to drive them to sacrifice their lives for the sanctification of the name of the Almighty? The answer is, Nasu kal v'chomer ba'atzmon mit sefardim. They used kal v'chomer logic based on the sfardim, the frogs of the plagues of Mitzrayim story. Umat sefardim she'ein mitzuvin al kedushas Hashem. Frogs are animals. They're not bound, they're not obligated, they're not commanded to sanctify the name of the Almighty. And yet, concerning them, it says, Ksibu, it says regarding the frogs, Ubo, Violu, Beveisecho, Vetanurecho, Uvemisharoisecho. That's the Pasuk, and it says that they will afflict you in your house, in your ovens, and in your mixing troughs. Misharoisecho, dough bowls, where dough is needed. Amosai Misharos Mitsuyas Eitzel Tanur. In this pasuk, you see Tanur, an oven, together with the dough kneading bowls. When are the Misharos, the bowls of dough kneading, found near ovens? Hevi Omer Bishosha Tanur Cham. That's when the oven has been fired up in anticipation of the dough being baked. So the pasuk clearly shows that we're dealing with hot ovens, and the frogs jumped into hot ovens in order to fulfill the will of the Almighty. So, Heve Omer Bishosha Tanur Cham Onu Shemitzuvin Al Kedushas Hashem. We say Hanani Mishael Azariah, who are people, Jews, that are commanded to sanctify the name of the Almighty. Alachas kama v'kama, all the more so, and that's why they jumped into the equivalent, into the furnace. Rabbi Yossi bar Ovin Omar, Rabbi Yossi describes Todos as matil loy lekis shel tamidei chachamim hoya. He was someone that helped Torah scholars who lacked finances. He offered them merchandise to sell on consignment, and thereby profit from those sales and derive an income from that. The Omer of Yochanan, Kol HaMatil Mloy Lekis Tamidei Chachamim, he who enters this type of arrangement with Torah scholars, Zoche V'yoshe B'yeshiva Shel Mala, merits sitting in the heavenly yeshiva. Shnemar, Ki B'tzeil HaChochma B'tzeil HaKesef. That literally, in the shadow of wisdom, when you're in the company of Chochmah, you will merit to be in the company of Chochmah for supporting them, the Talmidei Chochmah, with your kesef, with your funds or your merchandise. Rashi, b'tzel haChochmah, b'mechitzas haChochmah, ikoneze she'anao minachosov. In the precinct where Talmidei Chochmah are, and that's the yeshiva shel mala, the heavenly yeshiva, so to those who support Torah deserve to be found as well. The Mishnah. Mokom shenagu lahadlik ner balele yom hakipur madlikin, where it was customary to light candles on Yom Kippur night. So that is done. Mokom shenagu shelo lahadlik ein madlikin, where the custom is not to light. So there is no lighting. You do not light. Don't deviate from the custom. Umadlikin bebotei knesis bebotei midrashos. However, you will light in shuls and in study halls and Torah study halls over mivuos ha'afelim, in dark alleys ve'al gabi hacholim, and by the sick. So those places you will light, you will provide light, but in one's home, that's dependent on the minhag. Tana, bein shomru lahadlik ubein shomru shelo lahadlik, whether the practice is to light or not to light, shnehem ledover echad niskavlu, they both have the same intention. And that is, Rashi explains, it's known that on Yom Kippur, intimacy with one's wife is strictly forbidden. So those whose practice was to light it, that would serve to deter the couple from engaging in intimacy, because people do not engage in intimacy in light. Those who insisted, or whose practice was to keep the house dark at night, was because if it were lit, so a person would see his wife and be tempted to engage in intimacy with her. So the darkness was the method of deterring that. So either way, their intention was to deter Mishkevei Isha intimacy. Omer of Yeshua, Dorash Rava, the Amech Kulam Tzadikim, the Oilom Yirshu Oretz. And Rav Yeshua, Rav Yeshua tells us that Rava, Amar Rav Yeshua, Dorash Rava, Rava Darshan this pasuk, Bein Shomru Lahadlik, Bein Shomru Shol Lahadlik, Shneim Lo Niskavnu Elo Ladover Echad. This pasuk that says your nation are all righteous is illustrated by this concern regarding the light on Yom Kippur in people's houses. Namely, their intention was a pious intention. Either way, the following piece of Gemara deals, and we have a topic heading: Mosai Mevorchim Al Ho'esh Shel Havdalah. When is the bracha on fire in the context of Havdalah made? We know that on Saturday night, when Shabbos ends, a bracha is made over the fire. And the issue concerns: what about when Yom Kippur concludes? Do we make a bracha on over fire? Now, this particular discussion is going to continue on to Daf Nun Dalid Omen Aleph. So, in view of the fact that we're learning in the Daf Yomi context, even though we haven't quite finished the Omid, this would be a relatively convenient place to pause. And just to remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.